Hey guys, welcome to the Alexis Ocampo podcast. I am your host, Alexis Ocampo, and I'm so excited for you guys to be listening in today. This is my first episode called Against All Odds, my full story. I'm going to be sharing my full story from when I was starting karate when I was 5 to 6 years old till now. Also, some of the obstacles I went through for school, fitness, and everything in between. I'm just so excited for you guys to listen in today. And it's not just me talking about my story and, you know, how I overcame things, but there are things that I want to talk about as well, some lessons in between that I want you guys to take away as well. It's not just me overcoming these things, but it's also for you guys to understand that other people go through obstacles and there are always lessons to be learned, whether you win or you lose in anything in life. So let's get started. So I'll start off with when I was younger. I was about 5 years old when my two brothers, Omar and Chris, they started taking karate classes, and I would be just tagging along with my family while they were doing that. I was pretty young, but one day while they were taking classes at one of the park districts, I asked my dad, "Hey, can I join with you?" And, you know, my dad's like, "You want to join them?" And I said, "Yeah, I kind of want to try it." And ever since then, my dad enrolled me into karate class, and I started karate when I was 5. It wasn't a karate class that I was doing now, but it was more a self-defense class. So we wore a different type of uniform. It was a black gi, but it was totally different. It was very new. I've never done any sport until then, so I tried that and it was really fun. I loved it. I was just very timid and shy because it was a type of karate where you fight guys and girls. It wasn't just specifically just girls, so I was kind of scared, but I loved training with my brothers and my dad. My dad was our main coach at the time, and he would train both my brothers and I, and it was just an awesome experience. I loved being with my family and doing different things. I started, you know, training a lot more every single day, and I ended up switching to a different club around 1998, and that was more of a sport karate with, you know, a traditional side to it. But that's when we all started off. I started off as a white belt. My brothers were a lot more advanced, so they kind of skipped belts and they started as green belt. But we switched over and we started training even more. We started learning a lot more of, you know, traditional karate and sport karate. We started competing as well. I started competing when I was 6, and ever since then, you know, my brothers and I, we were very determined on winning. So I started winning off gold medals off the bat. My brothers were, you know, already a lot older, so they were competing against a lot of tough competitors, but it was a really fun experience. I just remember training every single day, 4 to 5 times a week for about 2 hours. Even if we didn't have training, we would train at home. So we were very dedicated. Around 2001, I started to compete internationally, not in different countries just yet, but in different tournaments that were in the United States that had different countries coming in from all over the world. And I was, I think, a brown or a black belt, getting close to a black belt, but I would say a brown belt. I competed in a tournament called the US Open, the Junior Olympics, and the Ozawa Cup around that time. So just competing at an advanced level against different countries, that was my first experience, and it was very, very intimidating. Just being young, I was about 9 or 10 years old, but it was also very exhilarating. I loved it so much, and I took so much of the experience, and I came back home, and I just kept training and training and improving, so it was very fun. In 2002, I ended up getting my black belt, and I was one of the youngest at the time to get a black belt in my organization. So it was a really honoring and humbling experience. And, you know, I was just very determined to get it. I trained really hard. I was not like the other kids where, you know, training was secondary. Training was first for me. Anyone in class that I saw that was better than me, I had this mentality that I'm going to be better than them. Or if I liked what they were doing, I wanted to, you know, just one up them in my skill. I wanted to take what they had, but I wanted to be better. And that's the mentality I had. And I'm kind of glad I had that at an early age, because that carried on for till now, actually. So I feel like that's what separated me from the other kids, is that I was just dedicated in my craft, and I loved it. Even though I hated training sometimes, I loved it so much. But 2003 was kind of a breakthrough year for me. I competed in a lot of different competitions. One of them was the Ozawa Cup again, and I ended up winning one of their overall kind of bowl. It was kind of a overall type of tournament award, so it was called the Most Outstanding Female Competitor Award, and it was a huge bowl that you're awarded, and it's made out of bamboo, and it was made straight from Japan. I made that, or I won that because I won two gold medals, so I had the highest, highest medal count, but with the highest rank of, the competition. So I won two gold medals, and I won it for the females overall in the tournament. So that was amazing. I got to carry a bowl home, so that was fun to explain to the airport security guys. But that was awesome. And then I also competed in Hawaii. This was my first time competing in a tournament in Hawaii, so that was my first time actually visiting the States. And I got two gold medals there, so that was really amazing. So I just kind of built off this momentum while I was training and competing. I was young, training hard, I was winning in almost every tournament. I mean, there were some divisions where I lost, but I, was winning most of my divisions, and I was just at a high. I was training with my brothers, continuously improving myself, loving the craft, loving what I was doing. Unfortunately, though, around 2004, 2005, I noticed that my knee was hurting a lot, my right knee, and I didn't know what was going on. It was hard to put pressure on it. It was hard for me to kick. It was hard for me to push off of it. I found out I had patellar tendonitis on my right knee, and I needed to act fast because I wanted to try out for the karate team. So I needed to, rehab that so that I can get back into training and so that I can compete and be at a competitive level and actually earn my spot. So I ended up going through a lot of different types of therapies. So I went through chiropractor, I went through acupuncture through my chiropractor. That helped a little bit, which was good. I also did physical therapy, and then ultimately I did ultrasound. So it was kind of a couple weeks worth, or actually a couple months worth of therapy for my knee. It took a lot, and there were times where I had to sit out of class, and my instructors did not like that. I remember doing push-ups in front of class because one of my instructors did not like how I kept sitting out. But I mean, my knee was hurting, and I didn't want to push it. It was hard. Like I said, I was one of those kids that were determined to train, but if it hurt, like, I mean, I didn't want to train. So that was kind of stressful, and that made me want to quit. As a kid who was being embarrassed in front of all these kids, that was kind of a tough experience for me. But I got past it. I ended up getting a lot better with my knee through ultrasound, so that really helped. Now in 2006, I tried out for two organizations, two spots to be on the US team, and I earned both of them. It was a very tough experience as well. Went against a lot of tough competitors at my age group. I think I was around 13, 14 years old. But I earned a gold medal in both spots, so that earned me an automatic spot on the US national team for both organizations. So that was a very cool experience. I ended up traveling to my first international tournament. I actually had two at that year, a month apart actually. I actually earned a spot to go to the Junior Pan American Games. And that was in the Netherlands Antilles, Curaçao. I don't even remember the name. I just remember Curaçao. But I earned a spot there, and I ended up winning a gold medal for kumite, or for those of you who don't know, that is for sparring. I ended up winning a gold medal for my division at my weight class, and that was awesome. I was very inexperienced. I didn't know, what to expect at a, international tournament, how to travel, how to, be with the US team, but it was so fun. It was the best experience. I had the US team at my corner just cheering USA, USA, USA. And I just remember, oh, I was so pumped. It was like the best feeling in the world. I loved it so much. I carried that momentum over to the next international competition a month later in October. I went to Hanover, Germany with another organization, and I competed at the WKC Junior World Championships, and I won 2 gold medals there. That was also exhilarating. That was now dealing with more European countries. So I fought against Serbia, Russia, Italy. Can't think of any more. But yeah, there were a lot of European countries at that time, and those guys were crazy. And I mean, they still are crazy because they are very good at what they do. I mean, if you ever compete internationally, for some of you who are listening who have been international with me or in your own organization before, you guys know the Europeans are nuts. They are very good at what they do. They train, all they know is training. They live, breathe, and sleep based on training. So that is their thing, and they're pretty intimidating, but I was so happy to win 2 gold medals. And at this time I was actually a freshman in high school. So I did miss out a lot during my first 2 months as a freshman, but it was very, very exciting. I struggled with my grades though. I was not really a test taker. I never was, but I struggled with, keeping up with my grades, but I still pushed through and I still earned some grades, and I also came home as a world champion and also as a junior Pan American champion. So that was freaking awesome. I was a freshman, like I said, and just feeling good with life. That was great. Now 2 years later, I went to Novo Mesto, Slovenia for another WKC Junior World Championships. I also won 2 gold medals here, and it was an awesome experience. I made many more friends actually at this trip. I still speak with them time to time today as well. So it was a really good experience, and I was again now keeping up my title as a world champion for the WKC organization, and that was amazing. I didn't realize the severity or the immensity of competing at that level and being a gold medalist, but I was loving life. I was competing with my friends. I was winning. It was great. Now in 2010, I graduated from high school, and at this time, this is when I started my undergraduate career at Benedictine University. It's just a local private college near me. It's about 20 minutes away, and I decided to go into pre-physical therapy. I wanted to become a physical therapist, so I enrolled in the health science course or degree in pre-physical therapy. And the reason why I did that is because I was, with my knee, I wanted to be in the physical therapy realm. I'm in karate. I know what it's like to be injured, so I wanted to be in that field. I loved what I wanted to learn in that field. I love fitness. I love, anything anatomy related. So that was my goal at the time. Now, at that time, when I was speaking with my advisor, she did show me another program, which is what I joined, and I ended up joining later. It is the Masters of Science in Clinical Exercise Physiology program. There was a 4+1 program that was being launched, or it was actually, I think, going on at the time. It was just new, but they wanted me to, look into it and see if it was something I was interested to. So I would do 4 years as an undergrad, and then a year into grad school per se, but I would be done in 5 years instead of, 4+2, which is 6, if I did it separately. So I would be shaving off a year. At the time, I didn't know if I wanted to do that. I liked what I saw, but I was like, nah, I'm gonna just stick with physical therapy. So I took my prereqs and, did all the things that I had to do for as an undergrad going into health science. I was struggling at this time though. Like I said, I'm not a test taker. I did not do well on exams. I did well, obviously on quizzes, and I'm really good at studying. I made a lot of study guides. I was very meticulous on that. But when in terms of performing in a test, I just botched. I'm not a good test taker. I'm always self-doubting myself, and I'm always going back and forth with my answers, and that's what killed me most of the time during my undergrad experience and also through graduate school that I'll talk about later. But yeah, that was me struggling. But I mean, I did earn my grades, and I didn't travel anywhere internationally for a while. But in 2011, I ended up getting invited to two international competitions. I went to, in February, Tallinn, Estonia, which I've never heard of before. Estonia is kind of a small country in Europe. But it was for the International Martial Arts Games, and it was kind of a tournament that we've never been before. So I went with a small group, and we all went together for about a week, and it was my first time being a senior, and I competed. And at this time, though, I was suffering from a couple of things. There was a lot going on. One, it was really cold. Two, I was actually suffering an injury. 2 weeks before this tournament, I actually pulled my hamstring, and it was very, very traumatic for me. I was crying. It was really hard. When I pulled it, I was doing training back to back, and I trained in the morning with one of my senseis, and I came back and I trained with our competition team. I didn't stretch, and I thought, you know, I was invincible, and I ended up pulling my right hamstring while I was performing a kick against my brother, Omar, and I just felt my hamstring pop 3 times, and I just fell to the ground. I could not stand. It was hard for me to walk. I couldn't even sit, and I was freaking out. This was 2 weeks before I had to leave for Estonia, and I'm just like, I just butchered my spot and my chance to actually go overseas. My brother ended up helping me to go through chiropractors, to go through acupuncture, massage therapy, did all I could to kind of rehab it before I was sent off to Estonia. So when I was at Estonia, it was okay. While I was practicing with my other teammates, though, one of the guys, I think, who wasn't mindful at all, really kind of upset me, and it really messed with me mentally. But one of the guys swept my leg, and I fell to the ground, and it hurt bad. It was really sore. I had my coach kind of massage my leg for me, and I was in pain. It was a lot to go through. That was my first experience, competing with an injury. And I, you know, at that time I was like, I came all this way. I trained all this time. I am not giving up. So I told my coach, do whatever you have to do to help me, because I need to compete. So I laid off of it for as much as I could, but I competed. I didn't even kick, which was kind of weird. I love kicking during my fights, but I ended up winning 2 golds and 2 silvers, I believe, at this tournament. So it was a good experience, but I was like, man, I need to go home and rehab and rest my leg, because it is killing me. But it was a really good experience with the team. I made a lot more friends, that I've met through nationals. When I was competing at the time, and now that I know them personally, there were some senseis on the team as well, so I've known them, and it was really cool to be with them. I was one of the youngest with another girl. We were pretty young, but we were both 18 to be on the senior team, and we both, killed it. We both won gold medals, so that was really cool. But later on that year, in May 2011, I went to Prague, Czech Republic, which was a beautiful city. We got to explore that city a lot more. And it was just they had an old town and a new town. It was just fun to sightsee there. It was a very exhilarating experience. This is my first now WKC Senior World Championship. So I was a senior. It was for 18 and above. I don't know if they had 16-year-olds, but I know it was just 18 and above for us as a team. It was a small adult team, and there were, I think, 4 girls and 5 guys, I believe. But I mean, the guys were just, they were beasts. They were killing it. A lot of them came home with broken noses. Some of the girls did as well, where they were bruised. I didn't end up with a black eye, thank God. But it was that kind of tournament where it was brutal. I mean, they were coming for our heads, and we were not coming home empty-handed. But we did really well. I ended up winning, I think, 2 golds and a bronze, I believe. So that was an awesome experience. Just kind of, going back and, redeeming myself from Estonia, and then also now being a little bit better with my leg. That was a really good, way to redeem myself and to feel better about my results. And the competitors I competed with last time in Estonia, I actually beat them. So that was a really good experience. So I was just training, winning, living life. It was awesome. In 2012, I started, shadowing just a little bit more with school. I wasn't competing anywhere internationally at the time, but I wanted to start, thinking about my school, my career. I believe I was going to be a junior around this time, so I wanted to, get more experience in the field. So I started shadowing Athletico, which many of you know is a physical therapy company. The one near me is a Bulls Sox Academy, so actually a lot of little kids that work with some Bulls players and Sox players. It's pretty cool. But they work in this academy, and I shadowed one of the physical therapists there for about 50 hours, which was really cool because you were just above this whole turf, and you can see some athletes, like little athletes, competing or not competing, I'm sorry, training for their competitions and for their tournaments and stuff. But when I shadowed, it was really a cool experience. I didn't like the fact how she didn't let me be hands-on. I know I was just a person shadowing, but she didn't really let me do much. So I was just sitting there just watching, and it was a really cool experience. But in terms of who I was shadowing, she was really nice, but I didn't really get much experience. But I put it down as experience. I shadowed for 50 hours. So I thought that was enough, and I'll explain a little bit more as I go down. But in the spring of 2013, I was a junior still. I took the GRE, which is the Graduate Record Examinations. That's what it stands for. So it's kind of like the MCAT. You have to take the GRE in order to get into PT school. That's what they require. So knowing me, I didn't study at the time. I was like, eh, I'll just wing it. It's kind of, if you think of the GRE, it's kind of like the ACT on steroids. It's a lot more information. You had to study for it. And I realized, years later, I'm just like, what was I doing? Like, why did you just go in and pay $500 for this exam and you did not study? I mean, I took the math courses, I took the vocab courses, and then there's also a written part, there's also a science part. I thought the science was easy, so I didn't really study for it. The math part was kind of confusing. It's not like anything that it's not like basic algebra or whatever. I mean, it is, but it's also like figurative as well. So I didn't know what to expect. I took a lot of practice tests. I thought I was okay. I went in and I took the test. I think it was a 4-hour test that you take, just kind of like the MCAT, but a lot shorter, I think, because the MCAT's a lot more extensive. But the first time I took it, I did not pass. I did not pass, and I got below average on most. The funny thing is I got above average for writing. So yeah, I think you write an essay based on a topic that they give you, and I got above average. Ironically now, because I write blogs and I love speaking and I love writing, but everything else though, I failed. So I retook it, studied a little bit more, and I retook it, and I got a tiny bit better, but it was still average. It wasn't up to par to what the schools for physical therapy would require. So I'm like, shoot, I hope my grades and everything else can kind of make up for, what I was going to do. So during this time in spring 2013, I also went through the health science committee. This is usually during Benedictines, if you're a junior, this is what you would go through if you are pre-med, pre-dentistry, pre-whatever, anything health related or medicine related, you went through this committee if you wanted to get into your dream school afterwards for, med school, dentist school, OT school, anything. So we went through this health science committee, and what it involves is five professors total, I believe, five or six. I think there should be mainly five, but you would be assigned three individual interviews, and one of them would be the head of the committee. So that's kind of towards the end where after you do all of the pre-interviews or the other interviews with the other professors, the last interview is with the head of the committee. And we also had a group interview with another professor with other students. The two interviews that I had with the other professors, one of them was really nice. He really liked me, I think. The other one, she was the orgo teacher for our school, and she is actually the class that I failed. I am not an organic chemistry person, guys. I did not like organic chem at all. I got a D. I had to retake it in the summer, and I ended up, getting a B. But she probably remembers me as the person that got a D in her class. So she was not a fan of me. She was ripping me apart about my grades, my experience, everything. The other professor, though, who was a guy, he was really nice. I think he kind of, vibed off my personality. So I was like, yes, I want his approval. But the group interview, guys, that was intimidating. One, I was underdressed. When you guys do any interview, you guys have to make sure that, you're dressing appropriately. Don't wear like anything casual. Like, I think I wore high-waisted casual pants with some ballet slippers, and my hair was not the greatest. I don't know what I did with it. It wasn't slicked back, it was down. I don't know. I mean, if you have it down, it's okay, but I just did not dress appropriately because I walked into the room, and just imagine a huge classroom, but the desks are kind of in a U shape, and the professor's right in the middle where there's an opening, and all the students are, sitting around the tables. Everyone else came in a suit. If you're a guy, you came in a suit. Girls would wear high heels with dress suits, and I just walked in with my, rinky-dinky outfit, and I'm like, great. I had nothing. I had no idea what to expect. I had nothing prepared. So I just remember this one girl, and I'm friends with her now on Facebook, and I'm just seeing her killing it too. I think she's an osteo like doctor of some sort now. But I just remember she walked in, her hair was slicked back, she had this dress suit on, had high heels, she was sitting proper, she was confident, she was killing all of these questions, and I was just me, little old me being timid. I didn't know what to say. I got corrected by the professor that I was with giving the interview, and she's just like, you shouldn't really be saying this, but that's not a bad answer, but not too bad. She was like critiquing me as I was saying the answer, and I'm just like, crap, I'm not doing well. But when she asked the other girl and the other applicants around me, gunning for the recommendation letters as well, when she was asking them questions, they were, proper. They were, very confident with their answers. So at the time when I was doing all of this, I was not confident with myself, guys. I was just kind of rolling with the punches, and I was not prepared. And I didn't realize the severity of doing, this type of interview and to get into med school of any sort. I didn't realize how serious it was, and I kind of shot myself in the foot by not being prepared. And it hit home to me when I had my last interview with the head of the science committee. And she's the one that gives you your results, but she interviews you first, technically, to kind of get a vibe of how you are and to kind of justify what the professors in the, previous interviews gave you as a rank. So what they do, each professor, they give you a rank from 1 to 5. You don't want to get a one. One means you did poorly. You're not going to get a recommendation letter from Benedictine at all. A 5 is outstanding. You pass with flying colors, you impress them. Your recommendation letter will be given to the med school of your choice, and based on the wording, you will have, I think someone was telling me that if you get a 5, they'll say this student exceeds expectations. We recommend strongly this student to your program. So the wording of the recommendation letter is based on your ranking. So it's a scale of 1 to 5. When I was talking with my professor, she was, pretty nice. Her reputation is she is a very, not a mean teacher, but she is like to the point, like I don't mess around, don't BS me type of professor. And when I was interviewing with her, she was okay, but then she got down to, my results. This is literally what she said. She said, Alexis, you did pretty good, but based on what your professors gave you, you got a 2 out of 5. And I just felt my heart sink at this time. She said, you interviewed very well, but your grades are not strong enough. They're not up to what we would like them to be. Your GPA is a little bit lower. I think my GPA at the time, guys, was 3.3. Wasn't really that high. To be really competitive, I think you needed to be like 3.5 or higher. So my GPA was not great. And she said, my shadowing, my experience, she pretty much was like, what you shadowed with Athletico, that's not enough. Do you have any other experience anywhere else? Did you even go to a clinic? Did you go to a hospital setting? You know, you need to really think about shadowing other places, because just because you shadowed at one place doesn't mean you have experience. You need to be more well-rounded, especially with these applications that you're going through with pre-med school or pre-physical therapy. So you need to work on that. You need to get more experience in the field. Right now, you do not have more experience. Again, as she said this, I was sinking in my chair. I was like, please get me out of this. I don't want to be here right now. Oh, it was so, it was just like, I was just getting shot down, and everything that I thought was doing, that I was doing right, I did not do right. I was, you know, I was not prepared at all. And I'm paying for it right now at this moment. She also said my GRE was not up to par. I did not do well. And she pretty much said I was on probation just because I got a 2 out of 5. She was not impressed with what, you know, a lot of the professors gave me. I think one of them gave me a 3 out of 5, which I think was the guy, because he really liked me. I think he was being generous, though. So I got a 2 out of 5 overall from her, and she said I'm on probation. I would not get a recommendation letter until I raised my grades. So I did the best that I could after that, but, you know, I was devastated, guys. I was, you know, just imagine going 2 to 3 years into grad or undergrad school, and you thought you were doing the right steps, and you just realized you weren't. I am a junior in my undergraduate, you know, degree in my career, and my odds of going into PT school and to be accepted, it was low. I was freaking out. But what I did is I still applied to my favorite PT schools anyway. I signed up for Midwestern University, which is a very highly competitive physical therapy school, and also UIC, University of Illinois Chicago in the city. That was also a very competitive school as well. I was hoping that they would still accept me. Regardless, I had really strong recommendation letters. I wrote the essays and stuff. I try to write that very strong, since that is my suit, why I wanted to be a physical therapist and my journey and everything. I got emails from both Midwestern and UIC, and I got rejected from both. And you can imagine, I was crying. That was it. I was like, you know, I just finished my junior year in college in my undergraduate career. I don't have anything planned after, you know, I graduate. I was devastated. I wanted to give up. I was crying, and, you know, I was trying to figure out what can I do, you know, what can I do to get more experience, to, you know, get into PT school. I really wanted to go into PT school. And guys, when you're going into any field, I think what you really have to look into is, why are you going into that field? I think at the time I wanted to go into physical therapy because, one, I wanted to make more money. Physical therapy was now, you know, you needed to be a doctor in the field, doctor of physical therapy, DPT. So they just introduced that, and I wanted to, you know, have that degree, that those last, you know, the letters after my name, I wanted that credential. I wanted that so bad. I wanted to make more money. But I don't think I realized that I didn't love the field as much. I just loved the idea of it because, you know, I was justified just because I went into physical therapy for my knee means that I loved it. I mean, maybe I did, but I don't think I loved it as strongly as I think I did. And that reflected on my work leading up to being rejected by both physical therapy schools. So you guys really have to think about that when you're, if you're in school right now, if you're a high schooler, or if you're in college and you're trying to get into, you know, a field that you want to be into, really prepare yourself. Be already in the field. If you want to go into the medical field, you have to already be working or like being surrounded by the field. You know, even if you're not, you know, a nurse or whatever, you can work, you know, as a CNA, you can be at a hospital setting and still work in certain jobs. There's a lot more opportunities now, and I didn't realize that. I never worked in the field. All I was doing was training, and I was competing. And my rejections from both Midwestern and UIC made me think I was a failure. I blamed it on karate. I blamed it on myself, to the fact where I was like, why did I focus so much on karate? I should have known better. I shouldn't have competed in all those tournaments. I shouldn't have gone on the team. I shouldn't have focused on karate and training. I should have focused only on school. And guys, this is when I first realized balancing school and karate was significant, and it tore apart how I, you know, prepped for PT school. And I didn't realize, you know, it's not my fault with karate. I could have done both. And if you're in college right now, or if you're in high school and you're struggling with, you know, doing both karate and school, you know, you don't have to choose one or the other. And I'll explain this on my next episode when I talk about me in graduate school with training and competing. Now, it's not choosing one or the other. You can do both. And whoever tells you that you have to choose one or the other, they're wrong. I'm sorry. I'm going to tell you right now, because, you know, you don't have to choose one or the other. If you love doing both, then you can do both. And that's what I didn't realize. I blamed it on karate, but little did I know it was really my fault because I didn't focus on school too. If I put in enough energy in karate as I did in school, or in school as I did in karate, then, you know, I would be unstoppable. I wouldn't have gotten rejected. I would have gotten into PT school, but, you know, everything happens for a reason. So me being rejected was actually the best thing that could happen to me, because it made me refocus and to reanalyze what I wanted to do in life. Maybe I wasn't cut out for physical therapy. You know, it is competitive. And like I said, I wasn't, you know, that competitive in my grades. I mean, I was a very studious student, but it wasn't reflected through my studies and my exams and my grades. So I started to rethink a little bit more. I did end up shadowing, just to say that I did it. I shadowed an inpatient physical therapy department at Edwards Hospital. It's a well-known local hospital near me. It's about 20 minutes away. So I shadowed there with one of the physical therapists. She was such a lovely, nice PT physical therapist, and she talked to me a lot about the field, so I was trying to get more into it. At the time as well, when I spoke to my advisor after getting rejected, she told me, hey, how about you volunteer at this event called Young Hearts for Life? So I volunteered. What it is, it's a kind of a once-a-year type of event where athletes, I don't know how young they are, but they're, you know, younger kids that come in, and they actually get their electrocardiograms or EKGs done. So they get screenings for their EKGs just to make sure their heart's okay and there's nothing, like no arrhythmias or anything going on. At the time, I didn't know what an EKG was. I mean, I've seen it in, like, you know, hospital settings. I had no idea, but this was my first time being introduced to it. So I was prepping people with EKGs, and at the time I didn't know that the master's program of clinical exercise physiology, whoever was in that program at the time, they were actually volunteering as well as part of the program to, you know, do this. And I saw them with all their red polos and I was like, oh, this is pretty cool, but I didn't, you know, think too much of it. But I was doing EKGs. I didn't know what they were reading, but, you know, I still did them and it was pretty cool. But I had no idea what it was. So I left my junior year and went into my senior year of undergrad. And at this time, I was thinking, you know what, maybe I can be a personal trainer as well, just because I love, you know, training, and I loved, you know, everything that I was doing for karate. I wanted to translate that into personal training. So during the summer of 2013, I took the ACE personal training certificate exam. And I ended up not passing it the first time. I ended up being very close, but I didn't get the certificate. I ended up retaking it and I ended up passing. So that was a really awesome experience. And at the time, I was actually offered a position to be a personal trainer through a company called Ford Fit. It was owned by one of the guys that my brother Chris worked with at the time at a company, at a business company. So he actually had his own personal training gym. It was a mixture of CrossFit, a hybrid of, you know, other gyms. So it was really cool. It was actually a warehouse that he had, and he flipped it literally into a kind of a CrossFit type of vibe. Had turf, had, you know, squat racks, had punching bags, had a tire flip and everything like that, and sleds, everything. Anything you could think of as a CrossFit gym, he had. So I started shadowing and doing more personal training stuff with him. It was in Carroll Stream. It was about 30 minutes away from me, so I would go there, I think, every week just to shadow and just to watch how he did classes. He also had another class on the weekends as well, in the Fox Valley area near me. It was about 30 minutes away as well, but he would train men and women in this park district for about an hour every Saturday morning, so I would shadow him. So, you know, even though I was devastated about not doing well with, you know, my interviews and then also getting rejected from PT schools, I wanted to try to do personal training on the side. So that was kind of my thing. But in the fall of 2013, I entered my senior year. I took a undergrad course in advanced exercise physiology as an elective just because I thought it was really cool. And my advisor at the time told me to do that just so I get, you know, a stronger background in exercise or in, you know, the medical field and the fitness realm. So this was a really challenging course. This is actually when I met one of my program directors for the graduate program here. He was, you know, teaching this undergraduate course, and it was tough, guys. It challenged me in all these different ways I didn't think I could be challenged in. So he challenged me really well. I didn't do well on my exams. I was really, really frustrated. I was getting a C, and I was like, there's no way in heck I was getting a C. So I, you know, visited him and had one-on-one sessions with him to try to improve my grades. And he told me what to do and how to study. And I tried to change my studying habits, how to really focus and analyze what, you know, what would be asked on an exam and how would I reframe that and how would I answer that on an exam without, you know, being lost or anxious or, you know, afraid of, you know, what to put on. Because that's what I was. I was really afraid of what to, how to answer exam questions because I thought I had it wrong. And it's one of those things kind of like what you guys would go through. If I answered it one way, I would go back and be like, crap, I think it's the other question or the other answer for this question. So I would erase it and I would redo it. So I kept going back and forth with my answers, and he kind of helped me reframe that and work on, you know, answering it appropriately and direct. So I ended up improving my grades. They went from a mid C to a high B. I was very close to getting an A, but I actually loved exercise physiology. I loved it. It was more up my alley because it was, you know, involving everything, how our body responds to exercise, how our heart responds, how different systems respond. And, you know, it kind of clicked after a while, even though I struggled, it really clicked with me. So I decided to look into more of this program, and the master's program that I was introduced earlier as a freshman, my advisor, you know, I brought it up to my advisor and saying, hey, I think there was a program that you showed me last time. Is it okay if I look into it? And she's like, oh yeah, definitely look into it. It's a very good program. And I ended up, you know, getting more information about it. And then she told me to shadow, you know, in the field for a little bit just to see if that's really what I wanted to do. So I actually shadowed a few days again. I went back to Edwards Hospital, that local hospital near me, and I actually shadowed cardiac rehab. And for those of you who don't know what cardiac rehab is, it's a exercise program after you get an intervention. So if you get like open heart surgery, if you get a stent placed, or if you get anything else, like an intervention or like a valve replacement or anything like that, or a defibrillator, you come in and ordered by your doctor, and you come in and you go through an exercise program, and exercise physiologists are monitoring you through an EKG. They're taking blood pressures, making sure, you know, you're progressing. They start you off at a slower, you know, pace if you had a major intervention, but they get you up there just so that you can go back into an exercise routine and so you get your heart strong again, pretty much. So I shadowed them and I really liked it. So I applied for the program, and in 2014, of the spring, I was a senior now, I was about to graduate that year, but I applied and I landed an interview. And it was actually with two program directors. One of them was my professor for the undergraduate advanced exercise physiology course. And also it was another professor who she was the director or the professor, the head of Young Hearts for Life, which is that volunteer gig that I did that, you know, involved EKGs with a younger athlete. So both of them interviewed me and they both knew me. So I just had to state my case and I, you know, told them why I wanted to be part of the program, why I loved it so much. And, you know, they really knew me. So I just got in automatically. And it was a very, it's a very competitive program. If there's a lot of applicants, there's only a 16 spots open, 16 or 18, I believe, but it's a very small class that was being held, and it was a very intimate environment as well for the graduate program. So I got in, I was so excited, I was so happy. I'm like, thank you, God, I got in, and I have something else going on for my field. I mean, I loved exercise physiology, so it was kind of in a sense that I was kind of glad that I got rejected from physical therapy because I found, you know, my love in exercise physiology. I really loved what I was doing. You know, for those of you who don't know the field, it's really involving all of the energy systems, everything involved, how your body responds to exercise, nutrition, it involves EKGs, you learn everything else, and I'll go into that in the next episode. But it was a very, you know, it was a very detailed field, and it was totally different from physical therapy. Physical therapy is more, you know, taking care of acute injuries and rehabbing that, and, you know, it's a lot of involvement with anatomy and physiology, but this was more physiology based, you know, hence the name. But I loved it so much, and I was just so grateful. I was very honored to, you know, be a part of the program, and I was just so thankful. I think I saw, you know, a blessing in the struggle of being rejected. So sometimes, you guys, if you're being rejected right now, just know that it's, you know, leading you from one door to another. It closed literally a door for me, and it opened up another door, and I fell in love with the field. And I mean, I'm in the field right now, and I love it. I absolutely love the knowledge that I have from this field, and I don't think I would have gained the love and the appreciation that I do right now like I would for physical therapy. Nothing wrong with physical therapists, it just wasn't my route, and I was glad that I got rejected. At this time as well, you know, kind of going off this high, I got an interview with a news reporter. She was also working with my brother Chris at that same company that he was working with, and she was Filipino. And I, she was also a news reporter for TFC. And if you're not Filipino, it's called the Filipino channel, which, you know, all Filipinos know. Everyone has TFC on their satellite dish. So I actually got interviewed for Balitang America, and it was actually the same reporter or the same newscast channel where Manny Pacquiao was being interviewed too. So it was pretty cool. I was like, oh my God, I'm so excited. Like, yes, I will take this interview. So she interviewed me about my experiences as, you know, training with my brothers, my wins and my losses. And she actually came into the dojo and she filmed me, and it actually was in the TFC news. And it was really exciting and exhilarating. I was just very blessed. I think from the last year of being rejected from the Health Science Committee, and, you know, the year later getting accepted into the graduate program for exercise physiology, and then also getting an interview, I was at a high. I felt really good. And at the time as well, I competed at the Ozawa Cup again for the first time in 5 years. I think the last time I competed was in 2015. Or I'm sorry, it's 2008. I think it was around 2003 or 2000 or 2013 or 2014, sorry, that I competed again, and I ended up winning the most outstanding female competitor again. So I ended up winning gold medals and earning this award, and I was just, guys, I was at a high. I was very excited. So I will end this episode here. So kind of wrapping up, I pretty much, you know, going from rejection from the program to now, you know, getting accepted into the master's program for clinical exercise physiology, getting an interview with Balitang America at the TFC News, and then also winning at the Ozawa Cup again, and then graduating. I graduated, I think, with a 3.4 from as a health science major. So I got a BS in health science, supposed to be in physical therapy, but obviously that changed. But I walked and I was so excited. I was really excited to start grad school. And at this time as well, I will go through this in the next episode, but I also got asked by the program professor to do research. So it was more so with the exercise physiology realm. I actually got asked to do research if I wanted to do that during my summer. And I was like, heck yeah, I will. Just because I wanted to get more experience. I wanted to immerse myself in the field. I wanted to do more. And so, yeah, I'll just end it there. To just kind of recap and, you know, go through this. If you guys went through, and like I said, if you're going through rejection right now, if you're very scared on where to go and you got rejected from schools, or you're going through things with your family or anything, and you're trying to push through a goal, guys, push through. I almost gave up, and I almost did not apply for the graduate program for exercise physiology, but I was like, you know what, this looked kind of interesting, and I took the class, and I wanted to try it. So for me, it was God's calling to be rejected and to get accepted into this program. And you won't know until you actually push through it. Any struggles or challenges you go through, if you don't push through them, if you just give up and quit, you won't ever know what, you know, where life can lead you. It could lead you to a place that you never thought you'd be, but it could lead you to a place that you love. And for me, that's what happened. And I learned from my experience of being rejected that, you know, next time I need to be prepared. I need to strengthen my repertoire in my field, in my craft, in order to, you know, get to that point. So that I learned, but also, like, you know, to not give up. You have to persevere through what you're doing, because if you don't, you won't know where your potential can lead you. You won't know where these failures, you know, they are for nothing. If you failed, just because you failed doesn't mean you're a failure. But you quitting makes you a failure. And I realized that quickly, that I had to find a way. You know, it seemed desperate at the time, but it actually led me to a place that I love being. And I will discuss that next in my next episode, in Against All Odds, my full story, episode 2, kind of going from 2014 after graduating until now. But guys, just persevere. Just go through it. You know, you're going to have to go through the trenches. It's not an easy route to success. And I'll explain that again, because I go through it again when I go through my graduate program and, you know, competing with other of my classmates. And it's not an easy success to, you know, an easy route to success. You have to go through the ups and downs, the rejection, and, you know, people telling you that you can't do it, and telling you, literally, they told me that I was on probation. Well, you know what? I turned it around and I made something of it. So just persevere. You have to find a way. And if it's something you want to do, you have to find a way to do it. And I was very grateful that I didn't give up. So I will leave it at that. So that's part one. Stay tuned for episode 2, where I talk about now my graduate program experience, being in a master's program, studying full time as a master's student, but then also training, competing, and then my experience with getting my first full-time job, the one that I'm currently in now, and where I'm leading to in the future. All right. So I hope you guys like this episode. Try to DM me if you are following me on Instagram. Let me know if you enjoy this episode. I know it's a little bit long, but I love talking about my experience, but also showing you guys, you know, what to do so you don't experience or go through what I did. So you guys can learn from my mistakes, and you can take a few, you know, tidbits and use it in your experience that you're going through today. So make sure to message me on Instagram or any platforms that you're friends with me with. Text me if you have my number or anything like that. But let me know if you guys enjoy this episode, and I will see you guys in the next one.